The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into this edition of ESPN FC. I'm Sebastian Salazar. Great to be with you. We have plenty to get to in today's show. The race for the final Champions League spot in the Premier League is on. Manchester United, Leicester City, both in action. We'll recap all of that. Stevie Nicol, Don Hutchison, Shaka Hislop will be by in just a bit. But we have to start this show in Spain, where Real Madrid are champions of La Liga for a 34th time. This after they defeat Villarreal 2-1. We're joined by Julian Aran and Gab Marcotti. Jules, I'll start with you. Real Madrid, at the beginning of the restart, we said it was very likely they would have to win every single game to overtake Barcelona. They've done it, and they've done it so easily, they've clinched the league with a match still to be played.
You're right, 10 wins out of 10, and they were 2 points behind Barcelona when we restarted La Liga. 6 weeks ago or something, and then they were just unstoppable. They maybe not always the most pleasant to watch attacking-wise, but so efficient in both boxes, so solid defensively. This is the best Real Madrid defense for the last 30 years, and that was always the plan from Zidane. That was his priority, to win La Liga this season. He promised it, he delivered it, and he did it in a very different way than the other titles that he won before at that club. This one was built on being very strong defensively, being very well organized, playing as a team, and then relying on Karim Benzema to score the goals. Benzema has been fantastic all season, and the defense has been fantastic all season. Thibaut Courtois in goal, Varane and Sergio Ramos at the back, the two fullbacks as well. They've been pretty special, I think, and Zidane won his 11th title for Real Madrid. 11th title in 209 games. That's one title every 19 games. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, but I don't believe Real Madrid have trailed since the restart. How impressed have you been with their performances?
The performances have been very good, and I think even when people will flag up certain games where they got the rub of the green with the VAR and whatnot, but I agree with Jules, you have to look beyond that. This is almost another level of Real Madrid. It's almost as if, when you think about it, the Galactico era is well and truly over, in the sense that Karim Benzema, as fantastic as he was, he isn't a Galactico type as much as he is, a warrior, hard hat type. You go through the team, Eden Hazard out for most of the season. Gareth Bale, once again, missing in action other than his shenanigans on the bench. Except for Toni Kroos, Modric as well, off the bench a lot of the time. We saw a lot of rotation. We saw a lot of grit. We saw a lot of efficiency. We saw, I think, a side of Zidane, who previously was seen as just kind of like a man manager, a guy who didn't necessarily get too involved, so as not to screw things up and just let the players play. We saw a guy who was actually very actively coaching. And when the injured guys came back, he worked them back in. And I think, in some ways, this might be the most satisfying of the titles that Zidane has won.
Jules, so much has been made in recent days of officials, VAR helping out Real Madrid. Even with your Barcelona ways, will you discredit that argument here?
I just think they were the best team all season, really, since they lost against Mallorca in October. I think they've been on another level, really, in terms of, as we said, the results, of course, the way they were playing. Pretty much everything they did was almost perfect. And even with the pandemic and that break, they came back flying, as we said, with those 10 wins. They were so well prepared, far better prepared than Barcelona, for example, both fitness-wise and tactically as well. And I think Zidane deserves a lot of credit. Zidane, it was a priority because he still feels that he doesn't maybe get the credit that he deserves, and that what he did before in the past, La Liga in 2017, obviously the three Champions League in a row, that people never praised him enough. Really, it was all about, but you've got Cristiano Ronaldo, or you've got great players, and you've got a team that was winning before, and that, all that kind of stuff. And I think this one for him will always be very special because he did it maybe, as we said, in a very different way, but also him as a man, as a manager, was very different. And the personnel that he had, especially without Cristiano, was very different. And I think he will take I think far more pride in many ways to have won this one, especially considering that Real Madrid hadn't won it since 2017, that it would always, I think, have a very special taste for him, this one.
Gab, not a lot missing from Zidane's managerial resume. What does this title do to it?
I mean, I think it shows that, you know, he can, as I said, he can win in a very, very different context, in a different way. When you look at the injuries they had, the fact that, you know, the newcomers over the summer, people like Jovic and Hazard perhaps didn't contribute the way some might have imagined. And he dealt with it. And he dealt with it very well. And he stayed steady, even as Barcelona had all sorts of issues. And he didn't let Real Madrid's issues affect them. I think that's the main difference. You can chuck in the defeat in the Champions League as well to Manchester City. You know, in the past, that would have had a knock-on effect, or it might have had a knock-on effect. They didn't lose very often, obviously, in the Champions League. But Zidane really insulated the team very well.
Jules, individually, plenty of players to point out, but how about Thibaut Courtois? There was a time when it seemed like Real Madrid fans were really against this guy. He's been arguably their best player over the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, he has still behind Karim Benzema, please, Sebi. But no, more seriously, he's been fantastic. First goalkeeper as well to win La Liga with the two Madrid sides, Atletico and Real Madrid. He would win the Zamora Award and the best goalkeeper in the season without any problems at all. And I think it looks like he's back now to his best level, which maybe we hadn't seen for the last 2 or 3 years, really, and especially last season where he really struggled. But as we said, this time, everything very much was built on being very efficient defensively. And to have Ramos and Varane at that kind of level in front of you is a big help. To have Casemiro in the kind of form that he showed since October is a big help as well. But still, he had 1-2 shots per game to deal with, and he usually did that very well. So another reason why they've been so good since the restart and those 10 wins in a row is also because Courtois had been playing an amazing level.
Jules, you want to talk about Benzema? Okay, what about this penalty kick that Real Madrid attempted? I mean, look, you could say that the title may have felt at that point like it was already won, but Gab, just a strange scene there to see Sergio Ramos try the pass and then Madrid not be able, at least in that attempt, to pull it off. Did you have any problem with it?
I mean, I don't know why people do this, because it so rarely goes well. It's obviously a loophole in the rules. It's actually difficult to pull off properly. We saw, you know, the famous case with Pires and Henry in the Premier League yonks ago. Is it disrespectful? You know, I think it comes down to how the players on the pitch see it. I don't have an issue with it. But that said, if I was a Villarreal player, I would have said, just stick the freaking penalty away, Sergio. And, you know, you don't need to go and make it about you again. You know, you've made 22 in a row. Just go and make it 23 and let's move on.
Jules, any issue with what Benzema did? And Ramos as well?
No, I mean, I agree with Gab. I was there, actually, when Pires and Henry messed it up against Man City in 2004 at Highbury. And they felt really embarrassed and they could not take it again. So it's a bit of a different one. But listen, they wanted to have a bit of fun. I think that's what it was. They probably tried it at training before. And as Gab said, you try at training and it's all great and you do it. But not everybody can do it like Cruyff and Ajax did all those years ago. And certainly not Henry and Pires, and certainly not Sergio Ramos and Benzema. It happened. Then Benzema scored the second one. And the whole game is over. But yeah, it's not, I mean, when you don't do it perfectly well, it's just not looking great.
Guys, the other side of the title race, of course, Barcelona. They lose today against Osasuna 2-1, 10 man. Osasuna, Gab, this just felt like kind of the end of a total capitulation for Barcelona.
Yeah, this is the bottom falling out at the end of the season. And, you know, there's no good way to lose the title, but there are plenty of bad ways. And I think this Barcelona team showed the wrong way to do it, chose one of the worst possible ways. Messi's words after the game, what happened during the game, Archer on the bench seemingly taking a nap. You know, you put all these things together, and you almost have a postcard of the turmoil. And it really has been turmoil at Barcelona for many different reasons over the past 3, 4, 5 months. And it really spilled over decisively onto the pitch. And not even Messi could go and erase that on the night.
Jules, Messi used the word intensidad y ganas, intensity and desire, to describe what was wrong with Barcelona, not just in the match today, but the season overall. I mean, we don't hear him speak much, but again, when he does, it is becoming more and more critical. What do you make of the comments?
Yeah, and he also said we have to, you know, to be self-critical, to really look what has been happening, not just this season, but before. He said the fans have lost patience, and rightly so, because we have not given them anything. And he also went to say that if they keep playing like this in the Champions League when they face Napoli in that second leg of the last 16, they're not going to go through. They'll be out of Europe as well. So you're right, it's rare that he talks, and it's even rarer that he talks like that in those kind of words. We knew he was unhappy because of all the mess that has been created at the club all around him, his war with Abidal and Bartomeu. But for him to talk like that, I mean, this is really when you realise how bad everything is pretty much at that club. And also what was really telling, I thought, was his reaction when he scored that free kick to make it 1-1 at the time, which was a lovely free, a great free kick. But then he put his hand like that, and clearly he's had enough. He's had enough of the mess around, of the rubbish players, the rubbish recruitment, no direction at the club. And you can understand him. He's the best player that's ever played the game. And look where he is now, losing to Osasuna at home in the 37th game of the season. It's ridiculous.
I think though, Jules, I mean, I think this was a big call by him, but I think it's what a leader does, right? Whether it's him, I don't know if Gerard Piqué did it in public or if he waited until the dressing room, because this is the kick in the backside you need. You have to regain that intensity because you have a return leg in the Champions League coming up. He even referenced the Champions League directly. Obviously, they're playing Napoli. And, you know, maybe it is good to rock the boat at this stage. Doesn't matter what happens next week, last game of the season. Nobody cares. It's all about what happens against Napoli and going forward. You can still salvage something. And so, you know, Messi, who's been quiet, as you said, most of the season, now is the time to speak. Now is the time to go and ruffle feathers. Now is the time to rock the boat. And I think it was the right call from him. And I didn't see it as an attack on Setien, the way some people have spun it. Some people even suggesting that, you know, that this could cost Setien his job. I saw it as an attack on the whole structure around him from Bartomeu on down, because that is really what has failed Barcelona this season, as much as some of the wacky choices Setien's made.
Let's go there, because in the post-match interview, he also mentions we'll have to change a lot in order to compete for the Champions League. Catalan Radio, one report suggesting that Quique Setién may be, in fact, done at Barcelona. Jules, the Champions League is still out there. Could they? Should they?
I don't know if they could, but it would be a hell of a win if they go all the way and win it, especially as we've seen since the draw last week, that they're in the really, really tough part of the draw as well. So they would have to play much better, of course. Messi is right, with more intensity, with more desire, for sure. Setien, if he's still there, would have to find the right formula and the right tactics first to get over Napoli, and that's not given, as we said. And we've seen Reno Gattuso's team playing really well in the last few weeks since the Serie A restart as well. And then if you go through that, then you have to play probably Bayern, and again, that would be a very, very difficult task. So It's not looking good for them winning the Champions League, but you never know when you've got Messi in your team. Anything is possible, of course, but it was interesting to hear Setien as well in his press conference after the game saying, I would like to be there for the Champions League, but I don't know. I don't know if I would be there. I think he knows that this defeat tonight and the way the season has gone since the restart could really cost him his place. I don't know who would come in. I don't know if Xavi can come in from August, have like that Champions League to start his career as a Barcelona manager. I'm not sure if that's the plan. I don't know who else could you give that job if you get rid of Setien, but I'm not sure it would be the best timings and the best idea to get rid of your manager, albeit not having been great in the last few weeks, to go into such a big game against Napoli.
Gab, you suggest that this is rock bottom. If so, why keep Setien?
Because you have a Champions League to play for, and chucking Xavi in there for one game. Xavi, I mean, if they are going to make a change, and I think you make a change when you're convinced the players aren't going to respond. I think Messi's words suggest that the players will respond, because they only have so many cracks at the Champions League. For better or worse, they're in a round of 16 game. It's not as if everything Setien's done has been bad. You know, when he turned it around when he played the diamond with Messi and the hole behind Suarez and Griezmann, you did see signs of progress. And in individual games, and this is what we're talking about, let's not forget, these are all individual games. You got the return leg against Napoli, quarterfinal, semifinal, 90 minutes, mano a mano, individual format. And you know what? In that context, when it's just 90 minutes, most of the time you're going to pick the team that has Lionel Messi in it. So I think you stick with Messi unless there really is something. Sorry, with Setien. Obviously, you stick with Messi. You stick with Setien unless there's some kind of player revolt or whatever else. I think it would be mad to chuck Xavi or somebody else you're looking at as a permanent manager, chuck him in at the deep end at this stage.
Okay, Jules, I'll give you one more chance to come good on this. Was it a mistake to get rid of Valverde, who won the league?
Of course it was not. Of course it wasn't. It wasn't. And let's not forget, Setien was not a first choice either. They didn't sack Valverde to go and get Quique Setien, who was walking his cows, when the phone call arrived. That was not the plan initially. They had to do it because the plan A and plan B didn't work out, Xavi and Ronald Koeman. But that was not the plan initially. They had to get rid of Valverde because it was even worse probably than what it is now. Although this is rock bottom, I think it was even more rock bottom before with Valverde. So I agree with Gab. Setien did some good things, some other things that were not very good. But he deserved just a chance to try to put things right, at least against Napoli, and then see after that in the Champions League. Well, let's not forget, everything is on one game. And again, with Messi over one game, anything is possible. So I think he deserves to be there. And then we will see after that.
All right, gentlemen, we'll leave it there. Plenty more from the boys over on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. Make sure to check it out over on the website.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Four matches in the Premier League on Thursday. Southampton and Brighton play to a 1-1 draw, as do Everton and Aston Villa. Villa looks sentenced for the championship, but the two big matches featuring Leicester City and Manchester United both tied on points for fourth, chasing that last Champions League spot. Leicester 2-0 winners over Sheffield United. Manchester United winning 2-0 against Crystal Palace. That leaves the top half of the Premier League looking like this. Chelsea in third, just that 1 point clear of Leicester City, who occupy the fourth and final Champions League spot for now, thanks to goal difference. They got +3 over Manchester United. We're joined by Stevie, Don, and Shaka. For more, Don, I'll start with you on the Manchester United-Crystal Palace match. Should Crystal Palace feel aggrieved? There were a couple decisions, the goal disallowed, a potential penalty shout on Wilfried Zaha in this match.
Well, the penalty was a disgrace. I mean, I can't believe the officials have come up with not clear and obvious, because it was the most clear and obvious foul I think I've ever seen. I mean, it was a stonewall penalty. The offside is dubious, and we have to get used to the technology. It's not quite up to speed, but I'll take the benefit of the doubt, and I'll take the referee and the official's word on are you being offside. But the penalty, come on. I mean, whoever's looking at that in VAR and the referee on the pitch, you know, if he's not sure, and VAR you're not sure, do what we always say. Go over to the monitor, double check for yourself. If you still don't think it's a penalty, don't give it. But it just leaves a bad taste when the referees on the pitch are not going to the monitors.
Shaka, how much did the decisions today play into Manchester United's victory?
Well, clearly they did. That's there for everybody to see. I disagree with Don a little bit. I'm not sure that there was enough there to overturn the decision on the field. If the referee had given it, I don't see how VAR says it's not a penalty. The referee didn't see anything wrong in real time. And similarly, I don't think there was enough there to overturn that decision at all. I think Zaha just ran by the ball a little bit, trying to sell Lindelof, and left it out. And Lindelof just got just enough of a touch on it. He clearly makes contact with Zaha in the process. But as I say, because he makes a touch and because I think Zaha ran by it, I just don't feel there's enough to overturn the decision one way or the other.
But the ruling is, Shaq, if you take the ball and the man, that's still a foul. That is the rule. That is the law.
Yeah, I agree. If the ball's ahead of Zaha and he comes through the back of Zaha and then gets the ball, that's one thing. But I think Zaha kind of runs by the ball in an effort to tell Lindelof and have Lindelof run by him and just leaves enough of it behind him for Lindelof to get a touch. And as I say, not warrant the VAR overturning the decision.
Stevie, let's leave the penalty shouts for a bit, and we'll focus in on the Manchester United performance. You get a goal from Anthony Martial, you get a goal from Marcus Rashford. What more do you want?
I don't think you want anybody else up front, that's for sure. Listen, for me, the difference between in this game was the forward lines. If you had swapped Martial and Rashford and stuck a Palace jersey on them, Crystal Palace would have won this game. Because as a back four, Manchester United got done. You know, for once, David De Gea has come up with some saves. He's had two great saves from Zaha, and he's had a fantastic save from a Vilivojevic free kick. So, you know, at the end of the day, this game was all about finishing. And Martial and Rashford right now are at the top of the game. And Anthony Martial, I can't believe this is the same guy I've been watching for the last 4 or 5 years. He actually plays like a centre-forward now. You know, I had him as a one-trick pony who would collect a ball wide, jink inside and put it in the back of there. This guy's holding the ball up. This guy's connecting play. What a turn of pace he's got from somewhere. Martial, for me, is absolutely dynamite right now.
Don, starting with the gentleman up top, what'd you make of the United performance?
Oh, I thought it was sensational. In terms of the top end of the pitch, I think Stevie's absolutely bang on. I mean, you know, Martial, I always criticise Martial because I actually love him and I think he's a tremendous player. And the reason why I criticise him is because I want to see more from him. You know, I'd go back to the Sheffield United 3-3 when Man United played 7 minutes of the game and didn't really turn up. I go back to a performance against Newcastle when they lost 1-0. The Bournemouth game when they lost 1-0 in the driving rain and he didn't fancy it. Everything was just a little bit too cold for him. And then now, all of a sudden, you're seeing the real Anthony Martial. And that's why we are, I think, critical, because we look at his talent and we think he's got blistering pace. He can finish, he can play as a nine, he can play off the left-hand side. And the front three at the minute are just absolutely sensational. Bruno Fernandes got voted man of the match over in England, and I actually thought it was one of his quietest games. I thought, for his standards, I actually thought he looked a little bit jaded because he's played a lot of football. But you've got to say, every time United go through midfield and get to the top end of the pitch, they look dangerous every time.
Let's switch gears. Other match of the day, Leicester beating Sheffield United by a final score of 2-0. Look, every time we talk about it on this show, we do almost a daily, who's going to finish in the top four? Leicester City seems to be the team that the analysts on this show drop out. Are we undervaluing what Leicester City has been able to do so far this season, Shaka?
I'm not sure that we're undervaluing it. Finally, Leicester turned up in a game that they absolutely needed to against opposition that... had this been a couple of weeks ago, I'm not sure they would have gotten anything out of. This is the same Leicester City that were one up and cruising against Bournemouth and somehow managed to find themselves embarrassed in the final 10 minutes. And that's the challenge for Leicester right now, given how inconsistent they've been since the restart. It's tough to predict, and great on them in keeping a clean sheet. Because what we saw against Bournemouth, as I mentioned, is as soon as they conceded one, they just capitulated. So that seems to be their Achilles heel. As long as they can keep things tight at the back, keep the ball out the back of the net, they give themselves a chance. Once they concede, who knows what's going to happen? I've played in teams like that. Leicester seem to be there right now. They now have Spurs. They have to travel to Spurs and then welcome Manchester United to their patch. And that will determine who finishes in the top four. There's a long way to go yet, despite it only being 180 minutes of football.
Not that long away, just the two matches. All right, let's do it. Who's going to finish in the top four? Stevie, I'll start with you. Did Leicester do enough today for you to move them up?
No, I'm going to say no. I think just... you know, they take too many chances. Certainly since the league started up again, the chances they have made, they take far too many of them to actually put the ball in the back of the net. Yes, Vardy didn't score today, but after Vardy, you kind of do wonder where the goals are going to come from. Plus the fact of the game, Shaka said, Tottenham and, of course, Manchester United. So I'm going to say that Leicester will not make the top four because of the fixtures they have, and I don't know where the other goals are coming from.
Don, before I get your take, real quick, I want to note Brendan Rodgers has come out and said that James Maddison, Ben Chilwell will be out for the rest of the season. Christian Fuchs probably out for the rest of the season as well. We know it's going to come down probably to that match against Manchester United in 10 days. Can they overcome those absences?
I don't think they can. I commentated on their win tonight, 2-0 against Sheffield United, and it was comfortable. Don't get me wrong. They should have won by 4 or 5. Harvey Barnes missed so many 1v1s. But second half, the flow of the game was leading towards Sheffield United getting back into the game at 1-0. And I think, like Stevie said, when you analyse the games that are coming up, you know, Tottenham, OK, you might give Leicester 3 points against Tottenham at a push, but I don't see them beating Man United on the last day of the season. So unless Chelsea lose their next two and have a real wobble, I think they're going to just miss out, but it's going to be tight.
All right, Don and Shaka, this next one's for you. Stevie, we'll leave you aside as you will be on the show tomorrow. We got the FA Cup semifinals coming up this weekend. Gentlemen, I'll start with you. Don, who do you see making it through to the final?
Man City all day long. Man City beat Arsenal all day long. Not even at a stretch can Arsenal beat Man City. They're just too good. And the other one, I'm going to lean towards my best buddy, Frank Lampard and Jody Morris. I don't know what the teams are going to be. But I would imagine Chelsea will try and play a more of a fuller strength side than Man United will. So the final is going to be Chelsea and Man City.
Shaka, you got any good friends involved that you want to favour?
No, I don't have access to Don's Rolodex. But I agree with him in that I don't think it'll be much of a competition between City and Arsenal. I think City win that. Now watch Arsenal come and make us both look bad in that regard.
Don't worry, Jack, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, in the second game, I've often said you give players a reason not to be at their best. They take it 9 times out of 10. I think Solskjaer has done that by complaining about the extra 48 hours that rest that Chelsea has. And to be honest, I think United's bigger focus is in their final two league games, West Ham and then Leicester. Which you can fully understand. As a result, I think Chelsea, with less of a concern going into the semi-final, get the better of Manchester United.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Stevie, save your picks for tomorrow's show. Also, a reminder, these three will be back for extra time. Stevie, Don, and Shaka taking your questions. Don't miss it. FA Cup semifinals live on ESPN+ this weekend. A reminder, we have FA Cup preview shows as well. Kay Murray will be hosting along with Craig Burley, Stevie Nicol, and Shaka Hislop. Alexis Nunez will be joining us from Wembley, too, for those shows. Again, Arsenal-Manchester City, Saturday, 2:45 Eastern time on ESPN+. Then the other semifinal, Manchester United and Chelsea, Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern time, also on ESPN+.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Inter Milan chasing Juventus atop Serie A. They were taking on Spal. 37th minute, Antonio Candreva opens the scoring for Inter. Alexis Sanchez with the assist there. 55th minute, more from Inter Milan. Cristiano Biraghi cuts inside, finishes to the far post. They were cruising over last place Spal. 60th minute, The aforementioned Alexis Sanchez, the point-blank header. The Chilean makes it 3, a forthcoming in the 73rd. Roberto Gagliardini on the doorstep, cool as you like, and Inter wins by a final score of 4-0. And a look at the table shows us Inter Milan have moved into second place, and pretty much the top four, those Champions League spots, all but locked down. Gab and Jules are back with us. Gab, Inter Milan then just 6 points back of Juventus. We know Juventus faces Lazio on Monday. I know it's a big if to suggest Lazio might win that match given their current form, but if it happens, we could very well have a Serie A title race when we thought it was done and dusted.
Yeah, and of course, Juventus, last day of the season, they play Roma. The joke all along was that if it's a head-to-head with Lazio, then, you know, maybe Roma wouldn't mind losing that game. But you know what? It's probably not going to be, given the way Lazio have been playing. You're right. We, all of a sudden, you know, the margins become very, very thin. That's what happens when you can see 9 goals in 3 games and take just 2 points. And the way Lazio have been playing, obviously you're going to favor Juventus because Lazio have been very, very poor. But equally, in some ways, Lazio have been sort of even, you know, worse than their results. And I think at some point they have a statement to make. And remember, Lazio have already beaten Juventus twice this season, if you count the Super Cup. And they seem to have the hex over them. So, yeah, this title race, you know, it's as much as we try, it's not going away.
Jules, let's switch gears a little bit. Manchester City look like they've got their deal done for Ferran Torres coming over from Valencia. I know you spoke about it a little bit on Extra Time yesterday, but for those that don't know Torres's game, he's basically suggested to be the Leroy Sané replacement. Is that fair?
It's fair in the sense that they play in the same position because Ferran Torres is a winger, although you would not put it past Pep to reinvent him in a way in another central attacking position. For example, he's such a gifted player technically, so elegant. He's quite tall as well. He's 1.84 meters. He's only 20, so he will learn a lot. I think working with Pep could do wonders because of how gifted he is, really. So replacement, yes, position for position, but he's a very, very different player than Leroy Sané is, for example. But he would be a great signing, I think, for City, also in the sense that he only has 1 year left on his contract at Valencia, that Valencia is in an absolute mess, and that you could probably sign him for a bargain fee as well. I believe his release clause is €100 million, but there's no way City would pay that. Probably half of that, maybe even less than that, to get Ferran Torres at your club would be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I know Manchester City probably aren't done adding to their squad, but you surprised that this is where they chose to start another attacking player?
I'm not really, because as Jules says, you know, Ferran Torres is kind of like a piece of clay. You know, people say, oh, look, he's a Sané replacement. Obviously, he's not going to match Sané's pace, but he has a presence about him, and who knows what kind of player he's going to evolve in. Remember, David Silva is leaving. We might see Phil Foden play more inside. Surely Bernardo Silva already made that transition to playing more inside. Ferran Torres might do the same thing. So I'm not, obviously we're going endlessly about how they need to add a defender at the back. And I agree with that. But equally, they need to also manage their squad because players are getting older. They're going to have a big call to make on Kevin De Bruyne's contract as well. So Ferran Torres, I think, makes a lot of sense.
Manchester City then in the FA Cup semifinals. We'll be looking ahead to the 2 semifinals on tomorrow's show. Don't miss ESPN FC.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C-E-bikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, that's all the time we've got for this edition of ESPN FC. Thanks to Gab and Jules, Julie Foudy as well, Stefano Fusaro, and Chicharito too. Now, though, it's time for Extra Time with Don Hutchison, Shaka Hislop, and Stevie Nichol. Enjoy. Hey there, everybody. Welcome into this extra special edition of ESPN FC Extra Time. We're joined by Don Hutchison, Shaka Hislop, and, of course, Stevie Nichol. Gentlemen, we have a ton of questions to get to, but Stevie, I want to start with you with something from the show. We had a little bit of a debate. Was it a penalty, Wilfried Zaha against Manchester United? We had a disagreement with the other two. You be the tiebreaker. What do you think?
Penalty kick all day long. Goes through the back of him to get to the ball. Yes, he gets the ball, but not. He's already kicked Zaha, so that means it's a penalty kick. And I can't believe VAR never even went anywhere close to it. And by the way, there was another one. Harvey Barnes went through in the Leicester game against Sheffield United, was about to shoot, and got the most blatant, obvious shove in the back as he's going to hit it. And nobody said they did anything about it. I couldn't believe it. Somebody's decisions. Yesterday we had two. Today we got two. We got four in 2 days that are just like... It must be because there's no crowd. That's my only guess.
Fair enough.
What's the crowd got to do with it, Stevie? Just wondering.
Well, because, I'll tell you why, because every single time there's a foul, whatever team it is, there's an eruption. And so everybody sort of gets on their toes and thinks, oh, we better have a look at this. Whilst there's zero going on, and it's almost, well, it is a practice game, kind of. So nobody seems to bother, particularly the referees.
If Barcelona doesn't win the Champions League, should they sack Quique Setién? Shaka, what do you think?
Yeah, the crowd played a part in my decision there. Listen, if they're done with the Champions League, the season has been a complete and utter failure on a number of levels, right? First of all, let's be honest. Barcelona and the success of their season depends on one thing or one other thing, and that being Real Madrid. They haven't gotten the best of them on either front.
How many things is that, Shaq? How many is that?
No. I said one thing, and it's based on the other team, Real Madrid. That's what I said. But added to
that...
Where
clean me is it? Hold on.
Hold on now. You can't fit Griezmann in. There's nothing redeeming for Setién about this season.
Speaking of nothing redeeming, which prediction was worse? Don predicting West Ham will finish in the top
four? Don predicting West Ham.
You don't even need to know?
Hang on.
Yeah, I don't care.
What's the contenders?
There's no possible other question that gets near that.
Hold on. Or Rabo saying Zidane will be sacked within the first 2 months of the season. Remember, after Atletico Madrid beat Real Madrid 7-3 in the preseason here in the States, Rabo was on that Zidane train out of town.
That's worse. You just won the league, man.
Again, here's the answer.
Stevie?
Well, I did actually 15 seconds ago. There's not even a question close to that, but there actually is. That one with Robbo, you know. There's actually a contender, but I'm going to say Don wins it by a head.
No!
Just crosses a line in front of Zidane.
It's got to be Robbo, man. Zidane's just won the title. You couldn't get it more wrong.
Dan the Orange Man. Oh, no. Skipping ahead a question. Frank McManaman asks, what was it like playing against your former club? Was it awkward or did you enjoy it? Don, you've had plenty of former clubs.
Loved it. Loved it. Got so much adrenaline from playing against your former clubs, whether they've either let you go or they've sold you or you left on good terms. It was always nice to go back to your former clubs and just put on a performance. I can remember many, many moons ago when I left Liverpool and went to West Ham. We played Liverpool that season on a nighttime game under the lights at Upton Park, and I ended up scoring two in a 3-1 win, I think it was, and that was nice.
Shaka.
I tell you what, spoken like a true Everton captain. Hey.
I'm just saying. It's just the only game that come to mind.
Oh, dear.
Dan the Orange Man asked, Shaka, how did you know where to set up your wall on a free kick? We saw this with Barcelona last week. Did you ever get blamed for setting up your wall in the wrong position?
No. I mean...
Never? You never were ever blamed once? Never?
Not for setting up my wall, Paulie. The one thing I could do...
To be fair, it's not that difficult. Hey, Seb, it's pretty straightforward. You don't need to be a goalie to set a wall up.
Actually, the goalkeepers don't settle the wall up. It's the second man on the wall that lines it up. Keeper's got nothing to do with it.
I'm the strongest part of my game, Seb. Setting up the wall.
Left a bit.
Oh, boy. All right, gentlemen. Zach asks, get back to the football here. Other than Cantwell and Grealish, who else on a relegation-threatened side do you see signing with a new Premier League club? Don, you got anybody in a dogfight that you see staying up?
I can't. I mean, I was a Cantwell fan at the start of the season, and I've seen him since lockdown. He's had his hair in braids. He's been walking on with his gigantic earphones in, texting on his phone instead of warming up properly. All right, he's had an injury, so I let him off on that one. But his performances ain't been good. They're not exactly attracting any suitors. I would look to Bournemouth, actually, and I would look at people like Josh King, Callum Wilson. I think there's players in that Bournemouth side when they go down. I think a lot of clubs in the Premier League would certainly take.
Stevie, what do you think of Cantwell's hair?
Honestly.
He doesn't even have to say anything.
He shouldn't have allowed it at the hearse.
All right, we're getting down to the end here. Stevie, have you ever scored an own goal? Of course, we saw just some calamitous own goals in the MLS's back tournament recently. Yeah. You got any good ones?
Have I ever scored any calamitous own goals?
Yep.
Oh, I scored an absolute beauty against Middlesbrough away at Ayrton Park. I think it was a season before they knocked it down. And they just got rid of the you can't pass it back to the goalkeeper rule. And I was having a shocker. My head was all over the place. And in goals, we had the biggest, tallest man with the widest span in David James. And I actually managed to lob him and with a pass back.
I was there.
Honest to goodness. Hey, Don, what a goal that was. Honest to goodness. You talk about...
It was the perfect
You talk
lob.
About a calamity.
It was about to just give it
a little tickle.
It was almost like he'd done it on purpose. It was the best lob you've ever seen.
I was... And it's really weird because my head was all over shot, but I remember it clear as day. I was going to give him a little tickle straight to J-Mo, and as I'm going to kick it, I thought, you can not allow it to do it. And then... I didn't quite give it. Instead of booting it, I tried to hit it harder, but it just lobbed over Big Jable under the crossbar. Never even hit the ground. Straight in the back of the net. Absolute beauty.
It's like he's proud of it.
Well, I can laugh at it now. I can assure you. I won't laugh at it today. I was like, get me home.
Get that up on YouTube.
Don, we got the same question for you. I don't know why Midu asked it twice. It's his third or her third question here in extra time. Have you ever scored an own goal, a memorable one at that, Don?
Not really memorable. Mine was a scruffy one, and I think it was against Leeds for Everton at Goodison, and it was just a scramble in the box. I mean, nothing is near as good as Stevie's. His lob was ridiculously good. Mine was just a scramble in the box. Someone had a shot, ricocheted off my chest and went in the back of the net. Embarrassing, definitely. But I think I actually started the game when Stevie scored that goal. And I can remember looking around thinking, I'm at one of the biggest clubs in the world and he was one of the best defenders in European football. And look what he's just done.
You've got a chance.
To be fair, I'd gone. By the way, I'd gone by that. Not only had my legs gone, my head had gone as well.
To be fair, Don did use the word was. Did use the word was in there. Shaka, were you ever credited with an own goal?
Oh, well, in fact, by the way, I'm 58. I can hardly still be, you know what I mean?
Well, the only time goalkeepers get credited.
Never got blamed for a wall, never got credited with an own goal. We're rewriting the history books here.
The only time really you get credited for an own goal is if it comes off the post and hits in the back. It's only happened to me once, and that was in pre-season. And I was out for 6 months with a broken leg. I was my fully sort of second game back, and a free kick hit the post and hit me in the back and went in against Exeter or somebody. As I say, it was pre-season, so I'm
so
not sure
did.
Of that.
So you did.
Count.
So you did.
It's a pre-season friendly. That's in any record book anyway.
Don't count.
Listen to Lobby over there, but it all counts.
He knows he ain't going to sleep tonight, Shaka. He's going to think, yeah, man, I hit the post and hit me in the back. Could have done a bit more there.
Ah, goodness.
All right, gentlemen.
Well, Stevie's was the best ever. No one's beaten Stevie's lob.
We'll have to.
Actually, hey, Lee Dixon. Lee Dixon, Chip Seaman from way on the touchline. It was like 35 yards. That was unfortunate for him. That was better than mine.
Did Frank Sinclair score one? Was it when he was playing for Leicester, like straight from the kickoff? I think he was playing for Leicester. They passed the ball back, and he slotted it past. I have a feeling it was Ian Walken goal. I don't know why, but almost. I'm almost certain straight from the kickoff he scored an own goal.
Kicker. I think you're right, Shaq.
Yeah, I've got to look that up now. I'm going to look at both those goals, yours and Frank Sinclair's.
Shaq, I smell another top five, maybe a power rankings of the worst own goals of all time. All right, gentlemen, we'll leave it there for today. We will be back for tomorrow's show, looking ahead to the FA Cup semifinals over the weekend and discussing plenty more as Real Madrid are champions of Spain for a 34th time.